Morning, everyone. Hope everyone is well. In this week's, in last week's parasha, the parasha of Vayechid. Again, not going to spend too much time on the parasha. We did have a parasha share last year on it. Just one interesting observation that I think is important for life. We're just going to mention it very briefly. Is that if we look at the parasha, one of the highlights of the parasha is the Birchas Yaakov, is the famed brachas that Yaakov gives to his 12 children. And the obvious question that's glaring is that the first three brothers didn't get any form of a blessing. The first three brothers, if anything, got a musa shmuz. They got teichacha, they got rebuked, they got pointed out all their flaws. So why exactly is it called Birchas Yaakov? So the Ksav Sofer actually answers that although the psukim don't say this, the Ksav Sofer suggested that after the psukim that we have, which sounds like that they rebuked the brothers, then Yaakov went afterwards and actually gave them all their own respective brachas. That's the answer that Ksav Sofer gives. But again, it doesn't sound like that from the psukim. It sounds like from the psukim that the brachas are what we have on the page in the Torah. So Rav Koppelman, the great Rosh Hashiva in Switzerland, was a Talmud of Rav Shimon Shkop. He answers the following answer, and it's a very, very important message for life. And he answers that when someone points out your flaws and someone points out your shortcomings and someone points out the areas that you're not good at, that's the biggest bracha in the world. And sometimes in life, you know, we have people that we're close with, whether it be siblings, family members, children, grandchildren, spouses, and workmates, where we're noticing that they're lacking or missing in a certain area. And we're always so afraid to point it out. We're always afraid to point out their flaws and their chasaron. And they're just going to continue to make the same mistake over and over. Or if you have someone who's, you know, not cut out for a certain field, and he's adamant about going into that field, and you don't know how to break it to the nicely. You're not cut out for being a doctor. You're not cut out to be a lawyer. You're not cut out for this job. You're not cut out for the rabbinate, whatever the job may be. And it's an important message for life that sometimes we need to be able to feel comfortable enough with the person. Again, obviously in a very respectful way. You know, you don't want to tell a person, you know, you're lousy at your job. You want to say it with a very loving way. But that's a bracha. When someone could be open and honest with you and tell you your shortcomings, your mistakes, and your flaws, that's the biggest bracha in the world. Because if not, you're going to continue to make those mistakes, and you're going to spend your entire life perhaps living in that mistake because no one ever pointed out to you that you're not doing what's proper. And therefore, says the Koppelman, the biggest bracha that the brothers could have ever received, especially the first three brachas, was the fact that they have problems, they have issues, they need to work out. Rashi says that Shimon had to become a Melamed Dardiki. Shimon had to be an elementary school Rebbe because he had to learn how to calm his anger. Anyone who ever taught elementary school, anyone who ever dealt with small age children, you realize you have to have a lot of patience. And the Mefarshim say Shimon was a very good, loving person. He loved his sister, that's why he killed Shechem. That's not the way you deal with people. So you have to learn how to deal with people. So he was trained in his job how to be a more compassionate, caring person. And they say the same thing about Levi. Levi was also a little bit quick to judge, and the only way he learned how to tame those feelings was by having to be dependent upon others. When you have to be dependent upon others for all your food, your ma'aser, and your truma, you have to be nicer to people. You have to learn a certain sense of kindness and a certain sense of respect. So therefore, the answer is, I think it's such an important message that sometimes in life, the biggest bracha is if someone says, listen, you're just not cut out for this. I can tell you in my own experiences, all the many times in my career that I've been discussing different job options for myself, some of them out of desperation, some of them out of perhaps desire, and I would run over by my wife and she'd be right every single time when she'd tell me, no, this job is not for you. You wouldn't be good at this. You're not cut out for this. This is not for you. This is not the way you're wired. This is not what's best for you. And she's been right every single time. So sometimes in life we need someone that's going to tell us, listen, this is just not for you. You know, you're not going to make a good whatever position you're trying out for. And sometimes we don't want to notice, sometimes we don't notice our weaknesses, and sometimes we don't want to notice our weaknesses. And that's the blessing of Yaakov Avinu when he taught his children the importance of realizing what our shortcomings are, and not only to not run away from them, but to figure out how to tackle and make them better. She didn't just tell Shimon and Levi, okay, you guys have, you're hot-headed guys, and you're done. No, I'm going to give you a way to work on it. I want you to, you're going to teach elementary school, and Levi, you're going to be dependent on the community. And by doing this, you will learn to be a better person. So again, I know it's not an easy thing in relationship to point out someone else's flaws. Again, the other person is usually not so willing to hear it. But again, if done with a lot of taste and a lot of care and a lot of loving, it could really be, in essence, the biggest bracha you give to them. Okay. Today's learning should be as Chos Refuah Shleima Chaim Yeshua Ben Hendel, as well as David.
Esther Sarah Bas Chaya Pesel.
Esther Sarah Bas Chaya Pesel. Michael, are you on?
Also, I don't know, is Mitch Gelnick on the line? Because it's his father's yahrzeit today. I don't know if
he's terrific. Okay, so today's learning should be for a Ilo Nishmas, his father-in-law as well.
And father, I don't know his name. But
okay, I think Hashem will get it where it needs to go. Michael, who's the name? Michael, are you on?
Mitchell. Mitch Gelnick.
Okay. No, I'm on. I got disconnected. Yeah. Did you say Yehuda Aryeh Ben Yitta?
Yehuda, I did not. Yehuda Aryeh Ben?
Yitta. A young fellow, 31 years old, who's on a respirator, Unfortunately, due to COVID.
Hashem should be mashal chafur shalema to all those people who think COVID has disappeared. It's a sad awakening that it's not the case. But Mirt Hashem, it should be... He should have a refuah shleima b'soich sha'ar chali as well. Okay, we're holding over here in the Gemara and Ksubis, and Taisus and Ksubis. Number one, Taisus has a kasha. Taisus wants to know why didn't the Mishnah pick other cases? The Mishnah picked a whole list of cases. My goal, Rabbi says, I hope to get out of the Mishnah by next week. If anyone's keeping track, we're up to our 11th shir. We haven't broke the Mishnah yet. I hope to get there soon. Mirt Hashem, I hope by next week's shir, or maybe 2 weeks' shir, we'll get out of the Mishnah, we'll actually see the Gemara, and we'll broaden our horizon in the third parak of Ksubas. But the Vaila, we have to finish up a Taisvis over here. Really, two Taisvis in today. So Taisvis is bothered with Akasha. Taisvis is bothered with Akasha. He wants to know, why did the Mishnah list certain cases and not other cases? So Taisvis wants to know, top line of Taisvis number one, Va'avul Kosha. The list Nimachzer Gushasoi Mishinises V'Nivolo Shaloi Kedarka. So Taisa has a very creative case. Why don't we talk about a case where a guy is married to a woman, he gets divorced from her. Now, he never ever lived with her, at least Bia Kedarkoi, because he was to live with her Bia Kedarkoi, she would no longer have Besulim, she's no longer a Besula, there's no Knas. But he then divorced her. Things didn't work out, they got divorced. And then what? Then, Mishanissas V'Nivolo Shaloi Kedarkoi, she got married to the next guy, she married Shimon, and to Shimon she had Nisuin, they had Chuppah, but she didn't have real bia with Shimon, because again, if she would have real bia with Shimon, she'd also not be a psula. But instead she had bia sholei kedarka. So, in fact, Taisa Kasha, what would happen in this case? We know there's an issa called machzer grushasa. You're not allowed to take a lady back after you divorce her if she gets married in between. If she doesn't get married in between, then it's a mitzvah to be machzer grushasa. But if she gets married in between, then it becomes an issa. So, in fact, Taisa, why can't the case be where Reuven was married to Leah, he divorces her, then she marries Shimon, they have Nisuin, they have Bia Sholei Kedarka, but they never touch the Besulim. And then that marriage falls apart for whatever reason. And then Reuven meets up with this Leah one day and he decides to be Ma'anasar, decides to rape her. Okay? So now this, they have an Issa called Machzer Grushasa, that's an Issa. So why couldn't the Mishnah pick that case? As they frek Taisvis. So right away you have to take a step back and ask yourself, what exactly is the scenario over here? Reuven's married to Leah for the first time around. They never have Bia. Okay, fine. Then he's married to the second woman, but the second woman has an interesting marriage. The second woman's marriage was what? It was Nisus and Nivolo Shaloi Kedarka. Why does that have to be the case? Why couldn't the second marriage be just like the first marriage? That let's say the first marriage was just Arison, then the second marriage was also just Arison, and there's no Bia Shaloi Kedarka. Why did you have to mix into the equation two things? The first thing Tysus mixes into the equation is that with the second man, she had Nisuin. Why does the second man have to have Nisuin? Why can't she just have Abraham with the second man? Secondly, why does she have to have Bia Shaloi Kedarka with the second man? Why couldn't she just be married to the second man and also have no interactions with him physically? I understand. They can't have Bia Kedarka, because if she's going to have Bia Kedarka, she's not going to have a Psulim. If she's not going to have a Psulim, there's no anus. I get it. That part I understand. But why does she have to have Bia Shaloi Kedarka with the second guy? Why does she have to have Nisuin with the second guy? Why does Taisus set up the equation in that way? So if you look number two in the Marsha is bothered with this kasha. But the Marsha answers, because there's machoikis tanoim in Yavamis, when does the Isser of Machaz Gushasai apply? Again, Reuven's married to Leah. Again, a bad example, that was his mother. But okay, Reuven's married to Leah. And then they get divorced. Fine. Now, at what point does Reuven is not allowed to marry his Machaz Gushasai? So one shita holds only if the second marriage of this girl is with Nisuin. Meaning, let's say Leah gets remarried to another man, but she only has Arison with him. They only have what I call the first stage of marriage. Arison, they only have Nisilis Atabas, but they don't have Chuppah. And then the second husband dies. And she decides, you know what, I want to go back to my first husband. I was married long enough to see that the second husband is no good, and I want my first husband back. So is she considered a Machzer Grushasai or not? So Machloek is Tanayim between Bi'oisi Ben Kippur and the Tanakama. Bi'oisi Ben Kippur holds that the Isser Machzer Grushasai is only after there's Nisuin. Only after there's Nisuin. If there would only be Arison with the second husband, then there would be no Isser Machzer Grushasai. Says Akhtar Marsha, very gishmak. Why did Taisus have to put in the words Vinissus? Because Taisus wanted to make the case work out even according to Bi'oisi Ben Kippur. Because it would just be the case where there was Arison, then it wouldn't be a case of Machzer Grushasai. She's not a Machzer Grushasai, yes, because she only had Arison. So Zogta Marsha number two. Hainu, why did Tosfos make the case of Nisus v'Nivula? Hainu, Rabbi Yosef ben Kippa, Perikamad Yevamis. Tali also, Marach Zugush also, Elam Hashem Nisus v'Nivula. Because according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippa, the Isser Marach Zugush also is only if there's what? There's a Nisuin to another man and a Bia to another man. Ava Chacham, and Pligi Aleo Hasam, Ayin Shem Nacham argued. So therefore, says the Marsha, Tosfos wanted to make the Kasha work according to everyone. And therefore, Tosfos set up the case that we're talking about where she had Nisuin to the second man. But it's not enough to have Nisuin to the second man. Because according to Yosef ben Kippa, just Nisuin without a Maisa Bia would also not make her a Marach Zugush Asa. But she can't have a Maisa Bia. If she has a Maisa Bia, she's not a Psul. If she's not a Psul, there's no Knas. So Tosfos came up with a Chap. No, they had a Bia Shaloi Kedarka. That's considered a Maisa Bia. But she still has a Psulim. Therefore, she could be subjected to the case in the Mishnah. As I learned the Marsha. If Kiva Eger number three says it also like that, I thought he was a little bit more explaining better. If Kiva Eger number three, he writes, V'hadloi nokti Mishnah Sarsara. Same kasha as the Marsha. Why did Taisa have to make it that she had Nisun with the second man? Why couldn't she just have Erisim with the second man? Zok Taisa, Zok Tim Kivega, I am the Dizah, Philip Yasim and Keeper. This Philip Bivam, Mr. Alpha, my base, the Marsha Grosman, Erisim, Muteris, Men, and Nisun, and Nasura. V'svirle deboi gamke nevola. Zotem Kiveger, my second kasha. What were the two kashas? Why did Tosfos have to make it that she had Nisuin to the second man? Why couldn't she just have Erisin to the second man? And why does she have to have Beer Shlokadaka with the second man? Shouldn't have Beer Shlokadaka with the first man? Why couldn't it be she just married him and they didn't do anything? Zotem Kiveger, and the Mashur I think means this also. I just found Reb Kiveger was a little bit clearer, at least to me. Says Reb Kiveger because the same Reb Yosef ben Kippa that holds. You only have a din of a Mach Zugush Asai. After Nisuin, he also holds you have to have a din of a Bu'u, you have to have a Maisa Bia. So it has to be with Bia Shlokadaka to be considered a Maisa Bia. So therefore, says Reb Kiveger, so that's why Taisvi set it up that it was Nisarsa, the Nivala Shalakadarka. Because in order for there to be a Mahzugushasa, she has to A, be married, Nisuin, and B, she also have a Maisa Bia. But if she has a Maisa Bia, she won't have Psulim. If she won't have Psulim, there's no Kasha of Taisvi that she should be in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah are women that have Knas, you don't have Knas if you don't have Psulim. So therefore, says the Taisvi, I'll make it a Kimta that she had a Bia Shalakadarka. So very Gishmak, the Mashon of Kiveger make us understand very well, in my opinion, the first line of Taisvi.
According to that, only the second one has to have
Bia Shalakadaka.
What about the first one? According to that, the first one should also be
Bia Shalakadaka. Well, the first one doesn't have to have Bia Shalakadaka.
Why?
But he could have, in theory,
Enachanami. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippa, even the first one certainly should have at least Bia Shalakadaka.
No, but according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kippa, in order to have a din of Machzor Grushos, she has to be with the second man with a Maisa Bia. What she does with the first husband is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. She was whatever relationship she had with the first husband. Now, Rebbe Kiveger makes a very important observation, which will come up, we spoke about in the beginning of the sugya, about 10 weeks ago, probably more than 10 weeks ago, and it comes up again. We keep on talking about the din of Knas and Oynus Umafate. We mentioned that in order to have the din of Oynus Umafate, the girl has to be a Besula. She has to still have her Besula intact. And we'll get into more of that today, the discussion. But what happens if a girl has Erisin? Now, we know from learning Kiddushin, which we've learned together for quite some time ago, we know that after Erisin, you're not allowed to have Bia. Erisin is what I call the first stage of marriage. It's a stage in relationship. If a lady's Mizana after Erisin, she gets the death penalty. But Erisin is the first stage of marriage. Now, what would happen if a man marries a woman, and they only have Erisin, and they don't have Nisuin? So, the assumption is that she's still a Basula. Because she never lived with her husband, because you're not allowed to live with your husband until after Nisuin. What happens if a girl got married to a man, they had Erisin, and they had Nisuin, but Adam swear up and down they never had Besul. They never broke the Besul, and they never had Bia Kedarka. Which is not so crazy today. Teaching Chassanim, I can tell you how many times it takes, how many days and weeks it sometimes takes to consummate the marriage. So you can be married for 2-3 weeks, and you never consummate the marriage. Fine. But you're Nisua. So what would happen with such a girl that's married with Nisuin, and Adam said, we saw, and somehow, again, how Adam know this, I don't know, but Adam testified, they know for sure her Besulim are 100% intact. Again, today you can probably get it medically tested, whatever it is. Does she still get Knas? So we mentioned it's a big Machloikish Rishayim. So points at Rabbi Kiveger, what do you see from Taisvis? You see from Taisvis very clearly that Taisvis says that why can't it be that the second husband has Nisuin? And don't worry, it was Bia Shalakadarka. For Rabbi Kiveger, what are you talking about? Once she becomes Nisus, game's over. Once she takes on the status of a Nisua, she automatically becomes she loses her status of Besula, even though she physically still has Besula. We mentioned that this is a big Machloikis Rishonim. So Rabbi Kreger points out, number four, from the fact that Tosis had a kasha, that we have another case of knas that could have been, which would have been a case where a man marries woman, his wife, and then they get divorced. And then she marries another man with nisum of a biyush like kedarka. What do you see from that? Says Rabbi Kreger, mavor disvir le denis is vigirsha gamkin yesh knas. You see that a lady after nisum still has knas. Ah, she's a nissa, she's nisuin. This is against the Torah. The Torah's opinion was that once a lady has nisuin, over, finished. Ah, she has no besuin, she still has besuin. Doesn't matter. So that obviously needs us to have a much deeper conversation to what is the Sibas HaMechayiv over here. Is the Sibas HaMechayiv being married, or the Sibas HaMechayiv is not having besuin? We'll come back to that in a few minutes when we get to the Chedusha Rebbe Malin. We'll see how Rebbe Malin delves into that. But that's a very important observation, because we'll see hopefully later Bli Neder in today's shir, that's a steer to another Taisus that we're going to see today. But Taisus Ashita right now points out Rebbe Kivegel, Chayor, rightfully so, is that Taisus seems to hold that if a lady has marriage, but we know she still has besulim, she is still eligible for knas. Because knas is not about being married, it's about having besulim or not having besulim. Yes, most women after nesuin, we suspect and we assume they lost their besulim. But if we have edim, if we have witnesses, and we have berura, we have facts of knowledge that she's still a besulim, she will still get the knas even though she's technically called a married woman. Okay, so let's go back to Taisus for a second. So Taisus has a kasha. The avakosha, the listening, marzigushosai, mishanissis, venivolo shalakadaka. Why did the Mishnah have a case where a lady's married, she gets divorced, then the husband number two, she has nisuin. Why? Because of the mashah. Then she has nil shalakadaka because we saw from Rabbi Kivager, but she still has bzulim intact because she never had bia kidaka. So she should be subjected, and then her original husband, her ex husband, goes and is ma'anasir. So he should have to pay her knas. Yeah, I factaisa kash, we have a perakasari yuchsin. Factaisa kash, what are you talking about? The Gemara says in Kedushin, akol moidim shimboa v'loikid she'ina loike. Factaisa kash like this. The Gemara says that the Isra of Marzik Rushos is not living with her. It's attempted marrying her. Meaning, if let's say, for example, Reuven is married to Rachel, they get divorced, and then she marries another man, and then that marriage doesn't work out. And then Reuven decides to have consensual beer with her. Not ma'anis, but consensual beer. Zakti Gemara and Kedushin, he's not over any Yisurim. The Yisur of Machzor Gushasi is not living with a Machzor Gushasi, but it's marrying a Machzor Gushasi. So Fertasis, no one's talking about marriage over here. We're talking about a Maisa Bia. He was Ma'anasir. So what's the Yisur of Machzor Gushasi over here? So Taisus says, no, we come welcome to Bakiva. What do you do according to Bakiva? Domer in Kedushin Taifsin, in Kedushin Taifsin, in Machzor Gushasi. Fertasis, what are you talking about? There's a Shitas or Bakiva. Rabbi Akiva holds you can't marry a Machzor Gushasi. It's in the Kedushin doesn't go in Taisin Kedushin. So for Taisvis, if there's no Tavisus Kedushin, so what exactly is the Isser in the Torah? The other sheet in the Gemara holds the Isser of Machzor Gushasi is trying to marry her. But you can't marry her. Or it is the marriage. But according to Rabbi Akiva, you can't marry her. It's a no-go. So what am I over? Teretz is I'm over for the Maaseh Bia. Oh, so if you're over for the Maaseh Bia, for Taisvis, you should be over for being Ma'anis. That's why for Taisvis is a kash. So Rabbi Chanan over here.
Rabbi, don't we say that ain't on Baal Bias no? So maybe when he was, they were doing it like Ma'anis, really in the back of his mind, he had in mind to do Kedushin.
Not if she's screaming bloody murder. Not if she's screaming, get off of me. Then I don't think we could say Adam Isabilas Abilas Nus. Then in that case, Behechach has to be. She's not consented.
Okay.
So Rabbi Chanan over here has a kasha. The great Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the Rashash also has the kasha. Rabbi Chanan has the following kasha. He says like this. What was Taisus's kasha? Taisvah says that according to the Tan and the Gemara in Kedushin, living with a Machzor Gushasai in a non-marriage context is not Asr. It's not Asr. The whole Isr is only if you're trying to make a marriage. So Frekta B'chanan, so what? The Kasha, number 5, left corner. Ma bikach, who cares? Naniach, let's say you're right. Let's say you're right. Aba Frekta B'chanan, ho ikur chidusha, there still is an underlying chidish. The psula is who, the Yesham Knas. There's still a chiddush. Why? Because at the end of the day, you're not allowed to marry a machzor gushasa. And at the end of the day, when it comes to knosas, one of the deciding factors are, am I able to be married to this woman? And you can't be married to a machzor gushasa. So, you still have the underlying chiddush. You still have the chiddush of what? That even though this woman, I'm not allowed to marry her, and I'm still not eligible to marry her. Maybe you're right. Maybe when I jump on top of her and I'm honest, her, at that point, that wasn't over any yisr. But what happens afterwards? Afterwards, when we start to figure out, can you marry this woman? The answer is, no, I can't marry this woman. And normally we say, any woman you can't marry, you don't have to pay knas. So why didn't that work its way into the Mishnah? As I fragged Rabbi Chanan. So Rabbi Chanan answers, V'ef shaloimah, desvirlei, latoysviz, demasis, nashminam, deka knas, b'chayvi malkas. So, maybe the Mishnah wanted to tell us a specific chiddush that there's going to be knas, even if there's going to be malkas. either Kriv Yehuda or Kriv Shlokish, but we wanted to have a chiddush, says Taisvis, where you're going to get in trouble for the actual Maisa Bia itself. Not just for the secondary question. Meaning, every single time there's a case of manas, the first question is the act that you did. And then the question is, what's going to happen forward? Can you marry this woman? Or can you marry this woman? That's going to affect whether or not this class. But Dr. Rabbi Chonon, we wanted in the Mishnah to focus on a situation where the act itself is wrong. Not just can he marry her later, but we wanted to discuss in the act itself that is wrong. But Rabbi Chonon asks on himself, and I'm not going to get into this, but he says that's not necessarily true for a Nesina. What's the Issa for Nesina? Lois is Chatein. What's Lois is Chatein? It's not the Maisa Bia, it's the actual Ishus later. And that wasn't the Mishnah. So Ferta B'chanan, don't tell me that the Mishnah only wanted to focus on cases where we're debating on the act itself, and the act itself was wrong or incorrect, but we're not looking about the future, whether or not you could be married to this woman. And that's why we didn't pick Machzor Gushase. Because Machzor Gushase, the actual Maisa Bia, is not Isser. The Isser would only come into the future. But Nesina is like that. There's no Issa to be boiled in Nesina. The Issa is only Lois Chatein. It's only to actually marry her. And that's a question of later. And that made it to the Mishnah. So Rabbi Chonon has that kasha. I'm just going to leave it off. We're not going to get into it. Now, we mentioned last week, this is a shtickl chazara, a very quick chazara, that the Achronim are very bothered by our Tosfos. Again, what was our Tosfos' kasha? I have a great case of Machzor Gushase. What's the case? Where Reuven's married to a woman, they get divorced, she marries a second man, they have Nisuin, they have Biyash Lekadarka, that marriage falls apart, and then Reuven goes and is Ma'anis. So that's the case of Machzor Gushase. So for all the Achrayim, there's a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Test, the Gemara in Kedushin says that if a man lives with his own wife, Biyash Lekadarka, that makes her a Ba'ula. Meaning, if a Reuven, if a stranger goes over to a woman and has a ma'aseh of bia sholei kedarka to her, that doesn't make her into a ba'ula. But if a husband lives with his own wife, and the bia that they have is sholei kedarka, that then makes her into a ba'ula. So, frekt all the achronim. So, what happened over here? Husband number two, who was her husband, lived with her. Bia sholei kedarka. So, that bia sholei kedarka should have made her into a ba'ula. If she's a ba'ula, she doesn't get knas. So we mentioned last week the answer from the Nesivus in the Sefer Beis Yaakov. Many people don't know, the Nesivus wrote a lot of Svarim. One of his Svarim, obviously everyone knows, is Nesivus HaMishpat, but one of his more less popular Svarim is Beis Yaakov HaMaseches Ksubis, and he wrote a Sefer on Halacha that the Bar Halacha quotes all over the place, called Derech HaChayim, from the Lisa Goyin, the Lisa Rav, the Nesivus HaMishpat was the Rav and Lisa. So he's quoted a lot in the Mishnah Berurah. I eschato ayani maskei yoyim. In my ignorance, I once thought that that was, when I saw the abbreviation Dalet Heches, I didn't realize it was the Derech HaChaim. I thought it was the Divrei Chaim. I thought it was quoting the Sanzer, the great Sanzer Rebbe. Now, he doesn't quote the Sanzer often. To my limited knowledge, I came across one place where he quotes the Sanzer Rebbe. I think it's a famous Bar Halacha because it comes up almost every time you do Kiddush Levana. In Hilchos Kiddush Levana, the Bar Halacha quotes a Chiddush from the Sanzer Rebbe, from the Divrei Chaim, the great Sanzer Rebbe, where he says that if you're outside and you come out, this happens so often, you come out to the Levana and the clouds are playing games. They're in, they're out, they're blocking, they're not blocking. So can you make Kiddush Levana? So Mr. Buru Taka Paskins that you shouldn't, unless you have enough time to get the brach in before the clouds will cover the moon. That's what Mr. Buru Paskins. But the Bar Halacha quotes from the Sanzer Rebbe, that Sanzer Rebbe said no. Sanzer Rebbe said, you don't have to worry. And he said, a hostical Torah. Sanzer Rebbe said, the same way you can make a bracha. You can make a bracha on, let's say, thunder and lightning. After it happens, right? You don't make a bracha before, you make the bracha after. So therefore, says the Sanzer Rebbe, you can do the same thing with the moon. Even after the moon goes tucked, as long as you saw it, and then it gets tucked back under the cloud, so what? It's all different than making a bracha like after the thunder and lightning. And the Bar Halacha says, Mechilas Kvoidai, it's not a good comparison. Because the bracha on the Levana is on the Hano of the Levana. The bracha on the thunder and lightning is not on the hano of the thunder and lightning. It's on the koyach that Hashem makes the thunder and lightning. So therefore, I can do it afterwards. But there he quotes the Divrei Chaim. He kind of disagrees with him. But so that was just my mistake. I thought once that the Dalet Heches was the Divrei Chaim, but it's the Derech Chaim. It's the great Nesivus to Beis Yaakov. So the Nesivus gave a Geshmaka Teres last week, where the Nesivus said no. When does a husband make his wife into a beula through a biyushalay kedaka? That's only if they got married with kedushin. He was Mekadosh with Bia, right? One of the three ways, we learned this many, many years ago together, Baruch Hashem, that Aisha Nikas B'Shleisha Drachim, it sounds almost like, you know, we learned it in elementary school so many years ago. Aisha Nikas B'Shleisha Drachim, Kesef Shtarim Bia. The Gemara told us, we didn't get to this Gemara inside, but we quoted the Gemara many times. Rav Mangid Amad Mekadosh with Bia. The times of the Gemara, they already stopped using Kedusha Bia, but it's one of the modes of making Kedusha. So this says the Gemara, if you Mekadosh your wife with Bia, and the Bia is Shalei Kedaka, then she becomes a Bula, even though her Basulim are intact. But over here, the second husband wasn't Mekadosh with with Bia. He had a regular marriage with the woman. They had Kedushin, they had Erisin, they had a regular chuppah, Erisin and Suin. And then for some reason, they never had Kedushin, they never had Bia Kedarka. So then Zakta Nesivas, then she doesn't become a Be'ula through that. The Chassam Sofer.
Well, maybe it could also be Machalik between that Lagabe Knas. Maybe she's not considered a Be'ula.
Oh, Mamish Machavit to the Chassam Sofer. That was what I was getting to right now, Seth. Gevaldik. Says the Chassam Sofer. I got a much simpler teretz to the Kash. Says the Chassam Sofer. Ava Pidil Adina Oisa Oisa Bulu Shleike Darko. And Mikomak Amini Knas Adanyan Besulihi. Time the Chassam Sofer again. What's the discussion over here? Throughout Shas, there are certain dinim with regard to punishments of what you give to a besula versus what you give to a be'ula. What's our discussion in our sugya? What is the role of besulim in our sugya? It's pashtus and metzias. Does she have those or doesn't she have those? So says the Chassam Sofer, what are you talking about? Maybe a vada of halacha is that a husband has the power to make his wife a be'ula through a bishul kedarka. But over here, being a be'ula is not the deciding factor. Over here, the deciding factor is, do you have besulim or you don't have besulim? Call her whatever you want. But if you checked her out, you'd see her besulim are intact. So therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, mikomakam yiknas adayim besulihi, kimin shezeh ha-ma'anis poigim gufo, akoponim shayre besoicha ois akoponim mimakam sulim, kein tzorech loimah. Says the Chassam Sofer, the mamash this teretz. Maybe in a chanami. Maybe when it comes to other dinim b'cholatari kula, when it comes to being a besula or b'ula, the husband has the power to make her b'ula shalikadak. But over here, what's the din? The din is not that she called a besula or she called a b'ula. The din over here, does she have besulim or doesn't she have besulim? So she has besulim intact. So therefore, she's still considered a besula, and she would still be eligible to the payments. Now, this Chassam Sofer, I think, is very geschmack, and we'll see a shtickle teretz from Reb Leib Malin. Now, we haven't had the pleasure of quoting so many Reb Leib Malins, so I think it's kedai to spend a little bit of time just discussing who Reb Leib Malin was. Reb Leib Malin was a Talmud by Reb Shimon. I guess today's Reb Shimon's Talmidim's day. We had a couple at the beginning of Shea, now we have Reb Leib Malin. But Reb Leib Malin learned by Reb Shimon for only for a little bit. He then moved on to Reb Baruch Ber, he moved on to Reb Chanan, and he ended up having a very close relationship with the Brisker Rav. Reb Leib Malin was chavrusas with Reb Nachum Partovich. They were very close. But the reason why we know much about Reb Leib Malin is because Reb Leib Malin had a very famous Talmud. Who was Reb Leib Malin's famous Talmud? Rabbi Mordechai Elephant. Whenever I have a chance to talk about him, we don't pass up a chance. So I actually last night went through all his memoirs, 95 pages of his memoirs, to see what he had to say about his Rebbe, Reb Leib Malin, because Reb Leib Malin died at 56. His Nebuch died very, very young. And Rabbi Aaron Cutler said about Reb Leib Malin that we mamash lost a leader. And he was going to be the next leader of Klal Yisrael, but Nebuch, he died very young. I believe he had no children as well, if I'm not mistaken. So Reb Leib Malin really his loss was a very big, his patir was a big blow to Klal Yisrael. But one of his famous Talmidim, who was always exciting to talk about, was a Mordechai Elephant. He considered himself a Talmud of Reb Leib Malin. And he said over, this is what his memoirs say, again, I urge you all to read it, it's all online, it's 95 pages, it's a gevaldik read. So he said over that he used to go speak to Reb Beryl Soloveitchik a lot, he was very close to Reb Beryl Soloveitchik, until one time Reb Beryl said something that he thought was a knock on Reb Leib Malin, and from then on he was no longer friends with Reb Beryl Soloveitchik, and he was very upset at Reb Beryl. He told Reb Beryl, your father, the Brisker Rav, held very highly of Reb Leib Malin. They were very close. He said, your father hired Reb Leib Malin to teach you Torah back in the Altaheim. So you shouldn't have spoken not nice about him. And then when Reb Leib Malin died, when Reb Leib Malin died, Rabbi Elephant thought that he should be buried near the Brisker Rav. And everyone else thought not like that. And if anyone knew Rabbi Elephant got done what he wanted done, and he made sure through his connections and his pull, he had Reb Leib Malin buried next to the Brisker Rav. He made sure that that's where he ended up, because he thought that Reb Leib Malin was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. The family thought Reb Leib Malin wasn't really a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. Reb Leib Malin at the end was a mirror. After he learned by all the Gedolim, he went to the mirror. He was one of the older Bachum in the mirror. A lot of people don't know this. The mirror yeshiva was known for having older Bachum. A lot of older single Bachum. Bachum were in their 30s. It was very normal to be much older in the mirror. In the other, in Ramey Shapiro, when he came to the mirror, he made the joke to the boys, you know, that he was already like, he was like 30 and he was already married, and he was a Rav. The boys in the mirror were 30, still single, and still learning in yeshiva. So it was well known the mirror was a place for older Bachrim. Reb Zalig Epstein used to say over that when someone once approached him with the Shidduch crisis, that there's all these, you know, single girls, he said, it's so funny. He says, he remembers when it was the opposite. There's all these single boys. He had all these boys in the mirror that were way up in their 30s, and no one wanted to marry them. The girls back then were not like today. They weren't running after guys in yeshiva. They wanted guys that could make a parnasa. So all these guys in the mirror were in their 30s. They were all single. They had a whole hard time finding shidduchim. It wasn't so simple. Again, we like to rewrite history, but that's not the way it actually happened. So Reb Leib Malin was actually part of the mirror yeshiva. He ended up in Shanghai. Then he ended up coming to America, and he opened up his own yeshiva called Beis HaTalmud, which is still alive today in Bensonhurst. I actually know a couple of fellows who just went to learn there. I was shocked. I said, you're going to move your family to Bensonhurst? You know, that community has been dead for like 75 years. But there's still, if you go down there, the yeshiva is still knocking. I don't know who's running it now because, as I mentioned, I don't think he has any children. But the yeshiva is very stark.
I think Herb Salberger's son-in-law.
Oh, that's who it is? Okay.
I think so. I'm not sure.
But the yeshiva is not so, the koil is very successful there. It's a very yeshivish community over there. If you get stuck there somehow and you have to end up in Bensonhurst, Amol was a very thriving from community. But now it's just that yeshiva. So Blei Malin was a big gadol. He was a big tzaddik. But again, we don't have much of his Torah. And Nebuch, he died very young. But he said over a great line. Rabbi Elephant once got into trouble from one of the parties. Once someone sent a letter to Blei Malin that your Talmud, Rabbi Elephant, is a Mizrahi. So he said back to him, my Talmud of Elephant knows two things. He knows Torah and he knows raising money. That's all he knows. He's not a Mizrahi, he's not anything. He knows money and he knows Torah. So whatever he did or didn't do, it was only for either one of those two reasons. So don't tell me that he's a Mizrahi. So I think Reb Leib Malin was a fascinating, fascinating Yid. And it's a shame we don't have that much from him. But if anyone remembers when we learned Baba Kama, many, many, many years ago, Michael probably could tell you the date and time, when we learned Baba Kama, we quoted a couple shtickle tires from Reb Leib Malin back then. But again, there's some famous shtickles that Reb Leib Malin says over. But again, he was one of the great Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas taken from us, sadly, sadly, very early. So let's see what he says, now that we have that
Akdom. Rabbi, I know you went on a long biography of him, but just to tell you, Reb Nachum used to quote him often. And by the way, so did Reb Shmuel Birnbaum.
Oh, really?
That's
well, they were contemporaries together in the mirror. They knew each other from the mirror.
Yeah.
Reb Nachum, Rabbi Elephant said that when he learned with Reb Leib Malin, Reb Nachum learned by Reb Leib Malin. He said when he learned by Reb Leib Malin, he didn't know anything. So Reb Leib Malin taught him everything he knows. He said by the time Reb Nachum got to Reb Leib Malin, Reb Nachum already knew. He already his own Mahalach Reb Nachum. He didn't get that as much from Reb Leib Malin. But they were all Altamiras, very chashuva people. Wonderful, wonderful gedolim that we had from the previous generation. Okay, in any case, so let's see what Reb Leib Malin says. Dr. Reb Leib Malin like this, Gevaldik. It's a very nice shtickle, very nice shtickle tire from Reb Leib Malin. He writes like this. The Gemara tells in Kedushin Daf Tes, "Behadim avoid the shaloi kedarko leinasis bula al inyan kanasu kliyam." Again, what would happen if you have a girl, a single girl, not married, has besulim, and a regular guy is ma'anasir, a regular guy lives with her, be a shaloi kedarko. Not her husband, a regular guy. What's her status now? So Avada the Gemara says, she's not a Pula. Why? Because her Besulim are intact, and the man that lived with her wasn't her husband. The Gamlin Skila L'Rabbana, when it comes to certain punishments. Vafil the Rebbe, the Pligi, even Rebbe that holds not like that. That's Meshum the Darvish Mekoy, especially because there's a cause. Avu Mesvara says the Reb Leib Malin, just logically, Shaloi Kedarka Enei Ois L'Bula. We all agree that if you live with a woman shalei kedarka, you don't make her a ba'ula. Because ba'ula seems to be connected to besulim, and a bir shalei kedarka, she still has a besulim intact. But klei Reb Leib Malin the following chakir, v'yesh l'stapik, b'tayim ha'demils, what's takab shat? Im ha'tam mishpashat mishum da'adin besula lo'y tolik klal b'bir. It's an interesting chakir that Reb Leib Malin throws at us. I would have never thought of it like this, but he wants to know, what makes a girl a besula? So he says, what makes a girl a besula? Having besulim makes a girl a besula. Says Reb Leib Malin, maybe not. Maybe the definition of a besula is a girl who's not a ba'ula. A girl that never had marital relations, she's called a besula. That's the taich from a besula. A ba'ula is a girl that had marital relations, and a besula is a girl who never had marital relations. That's the nekuda. Her internal body parts are not the deciding factor, perhaps. Maybe it's totally in a relationship, a shame. If she had marital relations, then she's called a ba'ula. If she didn't have, she's called a besula. So he clears that chakir. V'yesh l'stapik. The time of the mills, imatam pashim mishum dadim besula like toli klal b'bia. The first side of the chakir is the way we all thought. That's not totally in bia, rak basaras besulim, the lack of or besulim. Then besulah kayom. If she has her besulim, mikri besulah, then she's a besulah. That's the way I think most of us would have assumed. Therefore, says Reb Leib Malin v'alkein after shaloi kedarka avibia l'chal tari kula. So even if you throw in a case of bia shaloi kedarka, which the Torah calls that a maisa bia. Right? It's a ma'aseh bia. So what? Mikomachim kivin debesula kayam and had the besula. Very good. Call her a maisa bia. Call her a beula. But she's still a besula because the din besula is totally in the lack of or the besula. That's the first sad, and that's the way we all would have learned until we came to today. Oh, he says Reblay, maybe not. Oy, the name of the beemes adin besula mitla tali bibia. Maybe the din of a besula is not so much her besulim. It's really totally in whether or not she had a maisa bia done to her. The ikar adin bezehu besula v'loy beula. V'im he nechshev es bula oz eina besula. So to blame out, maybe not. Maybe the taich of a besula is someone who never had marital relations. Someone who has marital relations, she's no longer a besula. And I, her, besula mar attack, maybe that's not the deciding factor for making a girl a besula. Now he says, v'im he nechshev es bula oz maybe you'll tell me that if that's so, so what happens when it's a bia shel kedaka? Maybe that type of bia is not called a ma'aseh bia to make her bu'ula. Maybe that's only with regard to certain punishments. So again, what's a blade malin's chakir? What makes a girl a b'sula? Is it the lack or the ability to have b'sulim or having b'sulim? Or is it whether or not she had a relation? She had marital relations. If she had marital relations, she's no longer b'sula, or not. Says Dr. Blade.
What do you consider a mukaseitz?
Ah, gevaldik. That's mamish what he's going to say in a second. He's going to be tired then in the machloek yushen, but a mukaseitz. Very good. Okay, gevaldik. We'll see in a second. So says Rabbi Malin, ulechayri yesh lechiyach, I'll bring you a raya. What's his raya? From the din that we just talked about, that a baal makes an ish, makes his wife a bu'ula shleikadarka. Frank to believe, I don't get it. Why does the husband have the ability to make his wife a bu'ula shleikadarka? Ulechayri yesh lechiyach, Dr. Blev, I'll bring a raya to my chakira, which way it goes. Why? Because the Gemara says in Kedushin the Baal oisa oisa bula gam shleikadarka, that a husband has the ability to make his wife a bula even if shleikadarka. Why? From the pasuk the bula has ba. V'hainu the bias baal chashiv bia gam kishleikadarka. What's the chiddush of the pasuk? The chiddush of the pasuk is that this maisa bia of shleikadarka, which sometimes we don't consider a bula, here we consider it a bula. Afle in zeh shel besula v'chozeh rakim tala bibi. That only makes sense if it's tali in a maisa bia. Avol, so said the blade, Avol Nema the in a total club be El Basaras Absulim, MK Madifusa the Bulas Bam, come up, so like him. So the blade Givaldic. I don't get it. If the Daich of a Basul is lack of Basulim or not lack of Basulim, why does it make a difference when the husband is the one to be Boilish like a Daka? The Gemara says that the husband's Boilish like a Daka, she now becomes no longer Basul, she becomes a Bula. But didn't you just tell me that the Daich of a Basula is a girl without Basulim? Also, now it changes. So it says, "Blame no, Gishmak, you see from over here, that what's the taich of a besula? It's not about lack of besulim, it's about whether or not a maise bia was done to you. So when a normal man goes over to a girl and does a bia shleikadarka to her, we don't call that a maise bia. But when her own husband does that to her, then it's under the context of a marriage, then we do consider it a maise bia. Then if it is a maise bia, then she's considered no longer a besula. Very Gishmak. It's very muvan. If you look at it like this, then you understand the difference between another man and the husband. Because when another man does a maisa bia with this woman, that constitutes a bia, a shtickle ishas like a bia. It's not stam a maisa, an act unto itself. It was a bia under the context of marriage, which makes her taka a ba'ula. It can't be about besulim, because Dr. Blay Malin, this girl who had her husband live with her shalikadaka, she still has besulim. So why now is she considered a ba'ula? The answer is because ba'ula and besula are not defined by the mitzias of besulim, but rather they're defined by whether or not a maisa bia was done to her. Now, all this does not work with the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was saying not like this. The Chassam Sofer was saying is that the din of besulim is totally dafka in what? In having or not having. This lechayr was mochach not like that. And then the Blei Malin says it's really totally machloikis v'shoinim. What's machloikis v'shoinim? That stubi was mechavin to. There's a big machloikis v'shoinim. Does a mukas eitz have knas? What's a mukas eitz? A girl literally means she got hit with a stick and she now has no longer besulim, but she never had a maisa bia. She never had a maisa bia done to her. There was a tumult. Again, this is a little off track and a little probably tabooed, but there was a discussion in the 80s, late 70s and the 80s, from Choshev Rabbanim and Lakewood, that maybe all kallahs should have their besulim medically removed before the chasana. Why would you do this? Because if anyone ever deals with chasanim, which I do, the first 3 weeks after marriage is very stressful. Did they have a marriage? Did they have a bia gemura? Yeah, they struggle. They figure out all these. It's complicated. So someone suggested, let's take the besulim out before the chasana. This way we don't have to worry about it. And this way you can actually go on a honeymoon. That's the joke. Try explaining to a non-religious person why from people don't go on a honeymoon the week after their marriage. because they usually tummy to each other. It's not such an exciting thing. Usually from couples going on honeymoon like 3 months later when they worked everything out and they schedule when it's a good time to go, then they go on a honeymoon whatever, they go on vacation. But there are rabbanim that were making this campaign that we should have all the basulim removed. This way we don't have to worry about all the shailas. And this way they can there's no basulim, so you go weiter. And the reason why they were against it, because there's a Gemara, there's a Taisvis, and there's a Gemara that talks about the gadlus of the husband breaking the Besulim. He makes a bracha even, brought down Mishraim to make a bracha when the husband breaks the Besulim. Okay, so it was rejected. But nonetheless, so what's the case of a Mukeh Seitz? A Mukeh Seitz is a girl that had the Besulim removed. Actually, today they talk about it medically, some of the girls that are very active in their youth. Girls who do gymnastics, or girls who go horseback riding, which is not so common today. At least maybe not. I don't know. Here in Queens, I know gymnastics is popular. I don't know about horseback riding, but they talk about it. So some of those girls, they talk and can lose their basulim naturally, not because they did anything wrong, chas v'shalom, but just it's not there because they're stretching their bodies in a certain way that they can lose the basulim. So the case of a Mukeh Seitz is a girl that got hit with a stick and she lost her basulim. She never lived with anyone. She's a wonderful Beis Yaakov girl. She got an accident that happened to her. So would this girl be subjected to knas? So how do you look at it? So his mamish this zotir blei does it a hakira. If it's totally in besulim or not besulim, this girl has no besulim. I don't care why. I don't care because a man took it or because she had an accident or because it was medically removed by the doctors. Vos gemeran, why do I care? She has no besulim. She nishkan besulim. But if you hold that a besulim is a girl that lost her besulim or doesn't or had a maisa bia done to her, does meant a beula or a lack of a besulim is a girl that had an act done to her. This girl never did anything. She never had anything done to her. So Zotir Blei does good for the machloikis. It's totally in this chakira. So again, this is very negated to what Achsam Seifer. Again, this is really negated to the machloikis Rishonim about what happens after Nisus. Yeah, maybe this is really the next level. Here we're talking about when the husband does a bia shleika darka, that's called a maisa bia. Maybe that's the same thing with Nisus. When those Rishonim that hold that after Nisus, you lose your knas because that's considered being married. You're already married. What do you mean? My besulim are 100% intact. The Rambam Shita is, like the Torah says, that if a girl has nisuin, her besulim are 1,000,000% intact, she loses, she doesn't have knas. What do you mean? She's a besula. The Torah says, we see that's not necessarily the definition of a besula. Besula is not defined by the lack or lack, by the ability to have or lack of besulim. There are other factors that work its way in to try to figure out how to constitute a besula or a bula. Okay, that's again a very lomdish shaila which will continue to repeat itself throughout our perek, how to define the besula for the halachas of besula. But in any case, we're going to move on now. I'm not even going to go to Taisus's Teres. That's how much we're going to end it at there. We're not going to go to Tosfos Teres about Mahasu Gershasa, Ayin Shom, I want to move on already. Okay, let's go back to number 7. Number 7, we're going back to the Mishnah for a second. If you remember in the Mishnah that we started 11 Shurim ago, the Mishnah had a case of Knas, and one of the cases was an Eishes Ochiv. A person is Ma'anis or Mefad to his Eishes Ochiv. What's an Eishes Ochiv? His brother's wife. Okay, his brother's wife. Now one second. His brother's wife, we got a couple problems over here. First of all, if she's still married to your brother, so then she's an Eishes Ish. If she's an Eishes Ish, then you get the death penalty in court, in Bezdin. Then there's no Knas. So that can't work. So we got to figure out, first of all, she's got to be no longer married to your brother. Okay, that's easy. There's two ways to make that work. Either the marriage got a divorce, or the brother died. Oh, the brother died. Yibum. If it's Yibum, there's no Knas. If this man would force himself upon his, the halach is, it says in Yivamis, you're allowed to force yourself on the Yivama. So if this brother died, and now she left no children, and then the brother goes over to this girl one day and is ma'anaser. He doesn't get knas, he gets a reward. He was mekayim a mitzvah derais of yibam. So what exactly is the case? So Rashi, number 7, we spoke about this Rashi in the beginning of the perek, but it's always good to chazer. Rashi says on the Mishnah, al eishes ochiv zok Rashi, sheniskat shaloi, she was married to him, meaning the brother, meaning this girl, was married to someone's brother, but the girsha, they got divorced. So Rashi, why did they get divorced? She ain't ba misa ela karis. Now that they got divorced, so now there's no misa and there's no karis. Because if they'd still be married, so Rashi, if they're still married, you got big problems over here. If they're still married, so then you'd be an Eishes Ish. If you'd be an Eishes Ish, there's no knas. So Rashi's bavorning one of the kashas. Which kash is Rashi bavorning? That they can't still be married. So it's a shtickel doichik in the Lashon Mishnah. She's not really Eishes Achiv. She was Eishes Achiv. She's not your brother's wife. They got divorced. She's your ex-brother's wife, right? She's no longer Eishes Achiv. She got divorced. And therefore, says Rashi, that's the Akimta of the Mishnah. So according to Rashi, the case of Eishes Achiv is what? That the brother dies, therefore that marriage is over, but she's still considered an Isser called Eishes Ach. Okay. What about Yibum? Is there Yibum? No Yibum. Rashi doesn't tell us anything. Secondly, what's the next observation on Rashi, which I've been focusing on the beginning of this year? Rashi says sheniskat shaloi la'achiv, that she only had kedushin to the brother. Why does it have to only be kedushin? Why couldn't she have erusin to the brother? Why did Rashi pick sheniskat shaloi la'achiv? So what's the simple answer? Because if it would have been erusin, if it would have been nisuin, then she would lose her knas just because she's married, like the Torah says. So says the Eliyahu Rabbah number 8, he asks his kasha, kasha, why did Rashi have to limit himself? That the marriage to the brother was only with the stage of Kedushin and only Erisin. Why couldn't it have been Nisuin and make it a Shtikul Torah of Nivola Shalekadarka, like we saw in Taisvah's Machzik Rishasai? So says the Eliyahu Rabbah, because Rashi holds not like that. Rashi holds like the Rishonim that say that once she has Nisuin, it's over. Once she goes to the second stage of marriage, even though her Besulim are 100% intact, she never ever had breaking of the Besulim. She had Besulim there. But once she has Nisuin, it's over. So therefore, this is a stark arrive from this Rashi. The Rashi is of the opinion that once, not like Taisvis, because Taisvis told us the way Kivega pointed it out, Taisvis holds not like that, but Rashi sheet is that once the lady has Nisuin, it's over, she is no longer subjected to having Knas. Okay. Now, Rashi did not bavorn the Yibam issue. What do you do about Yibam? So if you look at number 9, the
Ritual. No, Rashi said Vigirsha.
Yeah, and therefore?
So there's no Yibam if
they're
divorced.
Okay, I'm sorry. Right, Rashi was focusing on the fact.
Rashi's addressing the Kimlay issue, and he
Right, that's what I meant. Rashi's really focusing on. Right, Rashi's focusing on why there's no Misa over here because the marriage is no longer applicable. Now, Rashi could have said that the husband died. Why did Rashi pick that the husband got divorced? Why didn't Rashi talk about Almana? The answer is because if it's Almana, then you have to run into Yibam issues. So in order to avoid that whole Shaila, Rashi kept it simple. They got divorced, no problem, no Yibam issues. But Zogdi Ritva, number 9, Zogdi Ritva, V'loi Mayri Kishnis Almala Oynis Garashim Min Anasuin, the Ritva goes a different way. Says the Ritva, why couldn't it have been that she died, that he died, or they got divorced after Nasuin? Why does it have to be only Erisin? So what did we say? Because if it were to be after Nisuin, then there'd be no Knas according to the Torah. Said the Ritva, not like that. The Elam is Armula and his Garshim and Nisuin, Elam Knas. Shabbat Knas la'atzma, kivet him a foot to he achalte. Says the Ritva, and we'll see more about this in Taisus in a minute, because if it were to be after Nisuin, she's her own boss. If she's her own boss, all payments go to her. So if all payments go to her, if it would be Oinis, so then Eichnam, you'd still have to pay it. But if it were to be Mefate is consensual. Mefate is consensual, you don't get any money from Mefate. So therefore, says the Ritva, the case had to have been after Erisin. And after Erisin, the father's in the picture. And since the father's in the picture, the money goes to him. As I zok the Ritva. Now, we spoke about this when we learned this, that if you remember way back when, Rashi said that our whole Mishnah is only talking about Mefate, not Oinus. I'm sorry. Rashi said that our whole Mishnah is only talking about. Rashi said our whole Mishnah is only talking about. Mefate. Is only talking about oinus. Forgot already which way it goes. But Rashi, Lushitase, works out very nicely. But the Ritva learns, not like that. The Ritva learns that since...